By afternoon next day, the coast of Africa had vanished behind us. We sighted a patrol vessel on the following day, but we were tearing along at such a rate that she never came near us. But the slaves were having an abominable time. Murphy was constantly at work, especially among the women, to make sure that none died, and twice a day the hoses were turned on to scour out the filth. About the fourth day, the wind dropped. The slaves stopped spewing, and the cooks, who tended the mess tubs, became the hardest-worked men on the ship. One thing the Balliol College didn't stint to its human cargo was food, which was good business, of course. Spring also insisted that lime juice be issued, and the slaves forced to drink it. Every day they were brought up on deck in batches and forced to caper about for half an hour, leaping up and down and trotting round the deck. This, of course, was just to keep them in trim. They didn't like that either at first, and we had to smarten them with ropes' ends to get them moving. But after the first few times, they began to enjoy it, and it was the most ludicrous sight to see them clapping their hands and even crooning to themselves, the bolder spirits grinning and rolling their eyes. The men got over their fears faster than the women, who danced with much less jollity, although everyone on the ship was always on hand to watch them. You couldn't have called any of them pretty, with their pug faces and great woolly mops of hair, but they had fine, shapely bodies, and none of us had seen a proper woman for near on 6 weeks. The sight of those naked black bodies, shuffling and swaying, got me into a fever the first time I saw it. And the others were licking their lips and muttering, when was Murphy the surgeon going to set about his business? I understood what this meant when we were all ordered to report and strip down for Murphy in his berth, where he examined us carefully to see that none of us had pox or crabs or yaws. When we were pronounced clean, Spring had us each pick out a black wench. I thought this was by way of seamen's comforts, but it turned out that the more black wenches who could be got pregnant by white men, the better the traders liked it, for they would produce mulatto children, who, being half white, were smarter and more valuable than pure blacks. "I want all these wenches papped," says Spring. "But you'll do it decently, do you hear? In your quarters. I'll not have Mrs. Spring offended." It may sound like just the kind of holiday for a fellow like me, but it was no great fun. I picked a likely enough big wench, but she knew nothing, and she reeked of jungle, even when she was scrubbed down. I tried to coax some spirit into her, first by kindness, then by rope's end, but she was no more use than a bishop's maiden aunt. In the intervals of our laborious grappling, I tried to indulge my interest in foreign languages. I can usually make good use of a native pillow partner in this way, provided she speaks English, but this one didn't, and was as stupid as a Berkshire hog into the bargain. So it was no go as far as learning was concerned, but I did succeed in teaching her a few useful English words and phrases like, "Me Lady Caroline Lamb, me best rattle in Balliol College."